You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports show.
Babes on Broad.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back. We are Babes on Broad. Long time no listen. So I am Sam Wilson with my co-host, Jesse Town. We are brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. You can follow us, our show pages on social media at Babes on Broad on Instagram and Twitter. And then we also have Babes on Broad Facebook now. That was newer before the bye week. So go follow and like that. Whatever you Facebookers do.
And then whatever people do on Facebook these days.
Besides stalk your family and like your aunt's picture.
And then your parents post embarrassing pictures of you that shouldn't be on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%. My mom came to the Rob Motti show the other night. She was like, okay, now smile. And I was like, oh my God, stop. Like literally stop.
And then of course we have our personal pages. I am at SamWills18 both on Instagram and Twitter. And then Jess on Twitter is at Run This Town with an E13 and on Instagram at Jessica_Town with an E. And then we also, it's getting Christmassy.
I'm so excited for Christmas.
I love Christmas. And now on our design tree, it's dsgnetree.com/babesonbroad. You can go get an ugly Christmas sweater that has babes on it. So rep the babes during ugly Christmas sweater time.
Babes on Broad, and another one that says Jingle Babes. That's
Jingle
my
Babes,
favorite.
That's our fave. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Jingle Babes, Jingle Bell, Broad Street.
It took a minute and a half for Sam to start singing. I'm very excited. I've missed you.
I know. I love Christmas, man. Be ready for it. Okay.
I'm so excited.
So we left off last time going into week, what would it have been? It would have been week 9. Yeah, against the Bears. And then we had a bye week 10. The bye was a good bye week.
It was the best bye week we could have had.
Yeah, it was kind of lackluster going into it. We didn't get a huge win. I mean, 22-14 win over the Bears, but it wasn't an exciting win. It was lackluster. But
very
the bye week was good.
The bye week was good. The bye week was very good to us. The 49ers lost, the Saints lost, the Giants lost, and most importantly, the Dallas Cowboys lost at home again. It's lovely.
Yes. So we are going into this week against the Pats, tied for first of the NFC East, which is awesome.
Yes.
Considering our situation so far this season.
Considering the injuries, considering
the play
overall, abysmal quality of our wide receivers. It's just a shame. I mean, it's been very underwhelming this far. I think kind of, you know, we're halfway through the season now, and I think there's a lot of talk about overvaluing the roster and overvaluing some of our skill position players, especially at the wide receiver spot. A lot more of it is not performing up to expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of it is, you know, overvaluing, basing our whole thought of the offense on DeSean Jackson and expecting DeSean to stay healthy for 16 games. And I think that was partly our fault as fans. But I definitely think a significant chunk of it is certain players having an extremely underwhelming season.
Yeah.
Like Alshon Jeffrey. Now, he obviously now is hurt, and I think that's one of the things that we'll talk about eventually about, you know, the fact that he might not play on Sunday. Up to this point, he has not performed up to standard for, I think he would tell you he hasn't performed up to his standard. But not only that, you know, we talked about last year how, you know, after that Saints game, Alshon Jeffrey catches that ball 99 times out of 100, and he's had some of the surest hands in the NFL over his career, and he has had the dropsies, which has not been pleasant. Mac Hollins playing all of these snaps and not having any catches.
Targets, yeah.
Yeah, and the wide receiver coach saying when the ball comes his way, I know he'll make the play. That's a lie. A lot of it has been things like that and just been a little bit of underwhelming performances from guys that you expected to be a little bit better.
I agree with that completely. Just to chime in real quick, because it's not an overvalue. You look at the stats coming into the season, all those players, we expected what we should have expected based on their previous performances. Everybody's having a down season, you know?
Yeah, it's just been...
Nobody could have predicted that Alshon Jeffrey would come back and I don't even know his stats on how many drops he has, but have 13 drops. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody would...
No, you drops and Alshon Jeffrey usually aren't talked about in the same sense.
So nobody could have predicted this. It sucks.
Nelson Agholor...
That kind of blindsided us.
Yeah.
Well, Nelson, okay, so that's different because he's always had an up and down. Right. You don't know which Nelson you're going to get.
Exactly. And I think someone I've heard, you know, people say, oh, well, he didn't drop, you know, the passes from Nick Foles in 2017. He had such a good year because of Nick Foles. No, he was having a phenomenal season all the way up there,
too. He was confident.
He was having a great year that year. Mac Hollins' rookie year, he showed a lot of promise that he had that one 60-yard catch against the Redskins. That was huge for a touchdown. He was a guy who I was very disappointed had an injury that we didn't get to see his second season and him take that step forward. And I was excited to finally see him back this year. And it has been, I mean, I wish I had the power to cut Mac Hollins from this football team.
Same.
But our savior is returning. Yes. Jordan Matthews.
Number one receiver, baby.
Coming back.
There we go.
To save the season once again.
Woo.
I'm excited to get my jersey up.
Except I do, no, don't get me wrong, I'm being kind of sarcastic in my woos and stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
I do love Jordan Matthews, great person. He's a decent wide receiver. Not a number one.
He's not a number one receiver.
Not at all. Not even close. It's sad that he's gonna be most likely our number one this week, which is tough pill to swallow, kind of. I mean, I like him. Hopefully he does something. He has the power maybe too, so we'll see, but.
For the Eagles, He had a couple of very good years in there.
He did.
I mean, in 2015, when he was the Eagles' number one receiver with Sam Bradford under center.
What year was that in his career?
It was his sophomore season. It was his second year.
Okay.
He was 3 yards shy of a 1,000-yard season. And again, that's with Sam Bradford going through.
3 yards shy. That would make me so salty.
I know. But like, when was the last time the Eagles had a 1,000-yard receiver?
Deshaun?
I have no idea.
I don't need
like, how long ago was that?
We're going to look it up, but we got to talk to you guys while we look it up.
I just don't. Jeremy Maclin in 2014.
Wow. Wow. I was a senior in high school.
I was in college.
Wow. That's nuts.
Jeremy Maclin, 2014. The Eagles haven't had that true number one receiver until Alshon got here. But they had so many weapons that they were able to spread the ball around so well, and that's what made them so unstoppable in 2017. But since then, last year, obviously, Ertz was the safety blanket for Wentz. And now this year, I think he's trying, you know, Ertz has been doubled a lot. They've been down guys. They don't have a speed guy, so they have to do short passes all the way down the field. Like, the Eagles offense has been very predictable up to this point. And, you know, that's something that is not going to work against a team like the New England Patriots. If you were to say, what should the Eagles do? You'd say, two tight end sets, get the ball to the tight ends and the running backs. And then you ask Bill Belichick, what are you going to do? Well, what they like to do is get the ball to their two tight ends and the running backs, so we just have to stop that. And you're like, now what?
Dude, Bill is hilarious.
Now what? So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
The Eagles versus the Patriots going into this week. The Patriots are coming off a bye as well. But before their bye, they lost their first game of the season to the Baltimore Ravens, who absolutely destroyed them.
37-20, yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch. I always love to watch the Patriots lose. However, the Eagles can take a couple things from that, because, like I just said, you know, that's exactly what Bill said to stop, exactly what the Eagles do. However, the tight ends and running backs and the threat of Lamar Jackson had a field day with this very good Patriots defense.
You're right. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Sam let me know before we started recording today that she's picking the Patriots to win, and I told her that I hated her, and so she's trying to find ways to be optimistic about the Eagles, but ultimately she's going to pick the Patriots, so it's not working.
Because, so obviously, I mean, you look, all you have to do is look at that Baltimore game, and it will give you everything you need to know. It's the one loss they have. So obviously that'll show you their weakness. But exactly what you just said. So they know what their weakness is too. Belichick, he's a genius. He knows that they got beat on that stuff. They know everything they got beat on. The Eagles have very strong as well. So in my head, I'm just like,
it's literally he's a defensive guy. So he knows.
It's literally Doug against Belichick this week because they're both going off the bye. They both saw the same stuff. Obviously, they're watching the same film they had 2 weeks ago over it.
Right.
It's literally Doug against Belichick this week. And that makes me nervous. I love Doug, but it's Bill Belichick.
So let's start with the Patriots defense. And
that's also scary.
Yeah, they're a very good defense, leading the league in interceptions.
Second in the league with sacks, 32 sacks.
And what did we talk about earlier? What did you? Their D-line each has a minimum of 2 sacks individually.
Yeah, Collins, one of their linebackers. Trey Thomas said this morning. 6 sacks, 10.5 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions just himself.
Hashtag yikes.
Yikes!
Absolutely yikes. One of the bright spots, now, this may not sound like a bright spot because they are leading the league in interceptions. Their secondary is very good, but they play a lot of man coverage. They actually play their defensive snaps, they play the highest percentage of man coverage in the NFL. And Carson Wentz actually is this season ranked number 4 in passer rating against man coverage in the NFL as a whole.
So that's optimistic right there. That's a good
one. It
is. That gives me a little hope.
It is. When it comes down to it, it comes down to the wide receivers being able to get any sort of separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be big. You know, the other part of this is everybody has to do their part. They need to run the football. That's step one.
Running Nobody the football, can have a slow game.
No. They need to run the football. That's what needs to happen. This offensive line can dominate the Patriots' defensive line. They can.
Yeah, I agree.
They can dominate anybody.
If they're on.
If they're on, they can dominate anybody. They have to start by running the ball because that's going to open things up a little bit in other places and be able to let Carson Wentz, A, use his legs to make plays, and B, take advantage of some of those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see also if JP plays because he was limited back to practice yesterday. So we'll see. I mean, it's his spot. Dillard has proven himself very well, but
how do you feel
about
that?
If JP wants to play, I think it should be Dillard.
I agree.
JP, he doesn't look like he has the passion anymore because he probably doesn't. He's been doing this so long. He's made his money. It's not that he doesn't care, but like,
I just feel like Dillard's playing so well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like
you have to let him keep going.
We mentioned this last podcast. Like, I am completely fine with JP just being his personal coach. Like,
I agree.
Just pay JP to be his personal coach and call his season. So it's interesting that they brought him back. They haven't announced anything yet, so we'll see.
You know, Doug did say
it'll probably come out after the show because it always does.
It always does. Doug did say that it's his spot when he's healthy.
Which, that's a respect thing. You can't.
Yeah, but it's what everybody's been pounding the table about is the nostalgic commitment being married to these older guys when you should be getting younger in certain spots.
Well, is that kind of a it's on JP thing? Do you think JP should be a man about it and be like, listen, I've had my time. I can't perform as well as he can anymore. Let him in. Swallowing your pride.
I think that's the only way JP is a healthy scratch and Dillard plays. I think that's the only way. Now, do I expect that to happen? No. Would be the only way that decision would be made.
I agree.
But so on the opposite side of the ball, so we talked a little bit about the Eagles offense and what they kind of need to do versus the Patriots defense. Flipping the script a little bit. 42-year-old Tom Brady still doing his thing. The Eagles defense getting better with a little bit more energy now that Jalen Mills is back, Ronald Darby's back, Avante Maddox is back. So in theory, we never have to see Sidney Jones again for the rest of the season if everyone stays healthy, which is ideal. What do you think is the biggest key for this defense, Sam, to have a good game against Tom Brady and contain this Patriots offense?
I have it highlighted. You see my sheet?
I do.
You peek in. And
I am. I'm also blind. I can't see what that says. I see it's highlighted.
We talked about it on the morning show, so if you listen to that, same thing. Edelman. That's always been Tom Brady's key piece. He's quick. Tom's quick. He sees him. He looks for him. Edelman will most likely be able to beat you in a spot real quick. Turns, catches.
The yak is serious.
Yeah, 243 yards after a catch this year.
I really didn't know that you had that right there. I just went with yak because I knew that's Edelman's
yeah,
thing.
That's
I'm
nuts.
I'm impressed that you had that right there.
He has 90 targets so far this year. He's obviously Tom Brady's comfort blanket. And it just, I mean, even though, like, it sounds so simple to just be like, yeah, it's Edelman. Just shut down Edelman. They have nothing else. It's not that easy.
Running backs are so good.
Their rushing offense is 23rd in the league. So I feel like that's definitely more containable.
Yeah, but those running backs have such an ability. Their screen game is so well set up and so well executed that they make plays catching the ball out of the backfield, honestly, more than they do just running the ball regularly. But I think the biggest thing is going to be, as Tom Brady's career has gone on, he's become worse and worse against the blitz. And think about it. 42 years old in football years is, like, ancient.
42 years old in Tom Brady world is, like, 30.
Yes, but his bones are still 42 years old. He doesn't like to get hit.
You don't know that. He might get injected with some of that TB12 stuff.
Stop it. Stop it right now. He doesn't like to get hit.
He doesn't. He's been sacked 16 times this year. That's a lot.
So you start to get some hits on him early. He is going to start to panic slightly. Even Tom Brady panics. He's admitted that Super Bowl 52 still haunts him. I guarantee you he still sees Brandon Graham in his nightmares.
Oh, okay.
When he turns off the lights, he knows Brandon Graham might be there watching him.
But that scares me that he's got that fuel. Because it's Tom Brady, dude.
But maybe you'll see Brandon Graham line up across from him and he will literally just poop his pants in the middle of Lincoln Financial Field.
Hopefully. But see, my thing, I feel opposite about the blitz. Because Tom Brady's game has always been the short drop back throw real quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like if we're blitzing, he'll look for Edelman, he'll look for whoever else real quick and just be like, dump it off on them.
Yeah.
He'll pick up some yards, and that's how they'll move down the field. They'll take time off the clock. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I agree that, so that's the difference, right? Like, the blitz can really rattle Tom Brady, but also if you're blitzing and your corners are getting beat, he's gonna hurt you.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest key to this is going to be our linebackers actually having a decent game and making tackles and containing things.
As I say, or if our secondary stays 10 yards off of the
freaking not gonna
people.
Work. They're going to have to press. And I think, so with Darby and Jalen Mills, they do, like, if you see where they line up, they do press so much more than when they have Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones as their starting outside corners. Just because they're slow. They're better. Yeah, Rasul Douglas is slow. I like Rasul Douglas. I do.
He's not terrible.
When he's coming in, like, if someone goes down, he has to step in. Like,
give somebody a break.
Yeah, I think he's phenomenal in that kind of role. Everyone has to step up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those that everyone has to have. No one can pick up the slack of anybody else in a game like this, because this is the best Patriots defense that I have seen, that I remember seeing. Like, the Patriots defense has never been great.
It's always been Tom Brady that has
been
like
Tom
their
Brady.
Number one thing. Now
right.
it's
the defense is what's carrying them through, and Tom's just making
getting
enough
by.
Plays.
He's doing
to,
enough.
Right. Things that are encouraging, though. This team was only able to put up 16 points on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. The Eagles put up 31 points on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. You know, the Patriots, it's still one of those things that, you know, their division is such a cakewalk. They play the Jets twice, they play the Bills twice, and they play the Dolphins twice. Like, they can win the division literally at 6-10.
Now,
I'm not trying to take anything away from their dynasty, but at the end of the day, like, let's put anybody else in that situation, and they're also winning their division too. I mean, they played all of those teams in their first seven games. They played, I'm trying to think what they played. I'm pretty sure they played the Giants. They played the Redskins. I mean, you know, I don't want to be the, oh, they haven't played anybody person, but you know, when that defense played a lethal offense that has multiple dimensions, like the Baltimore Ravens, they couldn't handle it. And when they played another very serious, legitimate defense like the Baltimore Ravens, the offense couldn't handle it.
Yeah, my thing with the Ravens, though, is Lamar Jackson is just hot right now. I don't know if any team would have been expecting that. You know what I mean? He's hard to stop because you don't see it. You don't know how to defend it. And he just goes off when he wants.
They played the Steelers. They played the Dolphins. They played the Jets, the Bills, the Redskins, the Giants, the Jets again, and then played the Browns, who ran the football all over them, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then they played the Ravens. So they played the Jets twice in there. They played the Redskins, who were winless at the time. They played the Giants, who are terrible. And they played the Steelers, who, for the first couple games with Ben Roethlisberger in there, were not good at all. Mm-hmm. Their defense has come alive, especially with that trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. And then the Dolphins. And the Dolphins are the Dolphins.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
My fear is they got comfortable, they lost, and now they're ready to play. Exactly. Which concerns me.
They get better as they go. They didn't have to heat up before. So what's your prediction?
December is their time, but it's not December yet. I think that this is a huge game on so many counts. The Eagles need to stay.
Because Seattle next week.
Yes. They need to stay competitive with the Cowboys. They need to win at least one of these games between New England and Seattle. Because after this, aside from the game against Dallas, they've got some very easy games mm-hmm. that should be easy wins to close out their season. It's a big game for Carson in the sense of, in his own head. I think he still has that monkey on his back of Nick Foles and, you know, all the chatter that constantly goes on. So I think this is huge for him to go into that.
He might
want to
prove that he can beat Tom Brady.
I just need them to not outsmart themselves. If everyone does their job, I firmly believe they can win this game. And I think being at the link is definitely going to play into it a little bit. And I think the Eagles are going to win 29-20.
Wow, okay.
Sam, your prediction?
Well, it's no surprise, kind of. Obviously, I wasn't optimistic because I have the Pats winning. A lot closer, though, than people probably think, by the way I was talking. I have kind of the basic score, but 27-24 Patriots. I think it will be close because I think it is, like you said, it's a test for Carson. He's not going to completely mess it up. We also have our run game. We have those strong points to our offense that I think are going to score and go down the field and stuff. But there's just so much that plays into it. They're coming off of that loss. Mm-hmm. They're heated about that. Say what you want. I know the Super Bowl was how long ago, but they have that in the back of their mind. They told you about that.
Yep.
And then it's Belichick and Brady, man. Like,
yeah.
If they have a vengeance, they have a vengeance. So I'm just, it makes me nervous, but yes, I'm going Pats 27-24.
Well, you're the worst.
But I also, hey, I'm going to give a little preview.
All right.
You're right. They do have to win between the Patriots and Seattle. I think they lose this game. I think they pull off the upset against Seattle. So I'll be the low one in that.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other teams in Philly and what they're doing right now. We are the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back. So we have some other sports obviously going on. It is November, so we have plenty of things going on around Philly.
Love it.
The next thing, probably even giving the Eagles a run for their money, are the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Because they're a big topic right now. They're 7-4 so far. Not doing hot, though. They started out, what, 5-0?
5-0.
And now they've lost 4 out of their last 6 games. Ooh. Yeah. Joel Embiid's been out 4 of those 11 games. 2 were because of the suspension, and yesterday was knee soreness. So there's only technically been
load
one.
Load management.
Yeah, there's been one of load management, technically. But that's kind of what knee soreness is. So what do you think about that? That's my question to you.
I'm not freaking out as much as the rest of the fan base. I agree that there are some concerns, But at the end of the day, I have seen 4 games without Joel Embiid, 2 games without Ben Simmons, 2 games with Tobias Harris in the worst shooting slump I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and
right?
a game without Al Horford. I've only seen, what has it been, 3 of these games of 3 of 11 or something like that were played with the starting 5, 4.5. I think it was 4.5.
Yeah.
Of 11 games. Like, I just need to see the starting 5 together. I think it's too soon for load management stuff, especially when Joel has said that he needs to play or he gets out of shape really quickly. Mm-hmm. My biggest question is, it was Elton Brand over the summer that said, we're going to do what we need to do to make sure Joel Embiid is healthy for the playoffs. So everyone's freaking out about Brett Brown and freaking out at Brett Brown. Do you think this is more, like, I think this might be more from the top than from Brett Brown making this decision.
I mean, that's a good statement because, yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's just Brett being like, oh, he needs to sit out. I don't think he's ready. I think it is a whole organizational thing because if they didn't believe it or didn't agree, he won't be doing it.
Right.
You know, Elton would tell him to stop.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a whole organizational thing.
So that bothers me. I don't think, I think it's too soon for, like, he I had agree. The 2 games off for.
You can't baby him. You got to give him some stamina.
Yeah.
Put him now. You have to play. I mean, obviously, he was suspended 2 games. You can't help that. But you need to get him that stamina now. And, okay, if you find out in by game 20 that he can only play 5 in a row and then needs a break or 4 in a row and needs a break, okay, you do that. And then you start going from there. But right. you need to start pushing the limits to see how many he can play in a row.
Yeah.
You can't go into – I mean, I know it's far away and it's way too soon to be for people to actually be worried and those annoying people that are like, oh, my God, play Brett. No, shut up. But – So,
you're right.
Yeah. But you can't, I mean, this is the time to start the stamina. If they're going to get injured now, they have time to come back by playoffs when you need them.
Right. And my biggest thing is he can't not play one night of every back-to-back. I can't go into every time I see the Sixers have back-to-back games and be like, okay, which one's Joel going to play and which one's he's not?
Yeah.
Like, if he's going to play the full, like his full regular number of minutes in one game, play him for 15 instead. Put him on a minutes restriction for the second one. If you're just, like, I get it. Like, big guys get sore and they get tired a lot faster. I understand. But he's also 25.
And you're an NBA player, dude. Suck it up.
Right. Like, I can't stand all the people calling into the radio and they're like, oh, well, I'm 50 years old and I do this, 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 and this. And in my day when I played, shut up. No one cares. Genuinely, no one cares. I do not care.
And you're right. It is different. Like, I mean, even me, I'm, what, 5'10"? That's tall for a female. And even me, I'm like, oh, my gosh, my joints, I'm already so old from being a college athlete.
Yeah.
I played 1 year. So, like, you know what I mean? So I understand that. But, like, you're also a pro athlete. They have, well, they're supposed to have that medical staff that takes care of you and do all that. So, like, use resources. Get them healthy. You have options. You have ways to do it. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sick and firm. Like, this is the time you need to stamina, endurance, whatever you want to call it. Build that up.
It's kind of like what Doug Peterson said when talking about Sidney Jones a couple weeks ago. It's like, at a point, like, you just got to deal with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I agree. Like, if you're at the point where you're like, something is going to just snap because you're in so much pain and you're so sore, like, that's when you need to cool it a little bit. But, like, same way, like, I grew up, I was a dancer, and I still teach dance now, but so this is, you know, if you include this year, this is year 22 of dancing for me. That's a lot of strenuous stuff on your feet, ankles, knees, hips, and all of my joints hurt all the time. When it rains, my hips and my knees, it's unbearable sometimes. You just push through, you power through. I've danced injured, like, we've all done it. Now, I'm not comparing myself to a professional athlete.
I was going
to
say we
need to different
asterisks or whatever it's called. Put that because we are not saying that we're better than them or that it's anything comparable. So before we get Twitter hate.
Yes. And like I just said, I can't stand the people that call into the radio and are like, oh, I did this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. Suck it up. I understand sometimes there's pain. If you want to get where you need to go as a team, you have to play together. And you have to figure out how to play together because that's how the turnovers are still a huge problem. Playing together and knowing each other on the court, That's one way those are going to get minimized.
And they should have known that. They did the same thing last year. I mean, it was different starting five, obviously, but they did not have enough time playing together.
Right. And they had three different versions of the team. The goal is to only have one version of the team this year with maybe a piece moved here or there, one or two, nothing major. It's not going to be three separate versions of a team. You got to get this figured out. You got to figure out who your closer is. If this person's not shooting well, who are you going to go to? If this person's not doing this, if this person gets hurt, like, it can't be. And, you know, part of it, I will criticize Brett Brown in the sense of, not only is it a different starting five every night, he's still doing those hockey line changes that I can't stand. And I understand you're trying to figure out your rotations at the beginning of the year with this new team. I get that. But there was a point last night against the Magic where he took all five off the floor and put five cold guys in, and not one of them was in the rhythm of the game, and they had like four straight turnovers, and he had to call another timeout and reevaluate because there were five people that hadn't played in 10 minutes and were cold, not in the flow, not in a rhythm, and they hadn't been playing together.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what is this?
I agree. I don't have the answer for that.
Me neither. And I love Brett Brown.
I do too.
I do think it's a make or break year for Brett Brown. I think it's absolutely too early to talk about firing Brett Brown.
It is.
You fire Brett Brown now, you have completely given up on the
season.
That's
not even an option. You don't have a roster like, I don't care if they suck right now.
This is Brett Brown's team for this year.
Yeah.
This is Brett Brown's team. He is the leader of this team. And to this point, I don't disagree with anything Brett Brown has said, but it needs to be shown to me. I think he said it best. Until they get this turnover crap figured out, they are built on a house. They're in a house on sand.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right. However, obviously, he's not the one passing the ball and causing the turnovers, but I think the way he substitutes guys in and out of on the floor, I think that has a role in the turnovers.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly what you said, the hockey line thing. You can't have the starting five knowing each other and nobody else on the team.
Right.
And then your second line knowing each other and nobody else on the team. You have to incorporate it somehow. It's got to be a flow. I mean,
yes,
basketball's always been that, and I don't understand why he would not realize that. It's just, it's very,
I have to
confusing.
Just hope it's him trying to figure out who he likes where and who he likes moving
I'm sure
where.
It is,
I hope so. You know, right now they're in a stretch of games against teams that are not very good. These are the games you need to, like, gather up and have in your W column and save these potential losses for when you play teams that are a little bit more complicated to play against.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I still want them to win those games, too. I don't want them to only beat the Cavs, the Knicks, the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're going to have to beat those teams and play against. Like, you haven't played against Giannis yet. You haven't played against Jimmy Butler again yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't played against LeBron yet.
The Celtics when they were good.
LOL. You haven't played against James Harden.
Celtics are like 9-1 right now.
Imagine where that one loss came from.
Oops. They're a lot better than people thought. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
it's so early.
Yeah.
And things switch.
Absolutely.
Standings will
switch. They beat the Bucks, you know? So it's really interesting. It's going to be an interesting season still. Don't abandon the season yet. If you plan on doing that, please just stay on that side. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. You're no longer welcome on the Sixers bandwagon because if these guys win a championship, all y'all claiming to trade Ben Simmons, fire Brett Brown, do this, do that. If they win a championship, you're going to be at that parade in June.
True that.
You'll be partying down Broad Street with the rest of us, pretending you didn't say all that stupid crap.
Want to know what bandwagon everybody should be on?
Which one?
The Fly Guys.
Absolutely.
Yes, our fellow Broad Streeters. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the Flyers.
No, I told you earlier, they almost pulled off a shootout hat trick. Meaning that they had three shootout games in a row because Carter Hart's been that freaking good.
Hart's been so good.
He's been a monster. And the first two of those, they won back-to-back shootouts. And then last night, they dropped it, obviously, by one. But still, Carter Hart, in regulation, allowed one goal and 35 saves.
And some of those were amazing.
Yeah.
Some of those were amazing to watch. And the Capitals are the best team in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
They're also the best shootout team in the NHL, mm-hmm. so I'm not surprised that they won in the shootout. The fact that it was as close as it was, he played out of his mind. And people were talking the other day about when the Capitals come in, do they stay with Carter Hart or do they put Brian Elliott in? And I wanted them to stay with Carter Hart because if he's your goalie of the future, you gotta let him work it out now. You gotta let him figure it out. And he has been playing extremely well. And I think that the fact that he has been playing so well, it's also been elevating the rest of the team around him to, he's playing that well. They don't want to screw it up mm-hmm. and ruin a great performance by him.
Yeah.
If it's an abysmal performance by him, the rest of the team kind of plummets. If he's having a great performance, everyone else really does step up. And I think that's huge to see them actually playing an inspired brand of hockey as compared to the last couple of years.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, that should be how it is on any team. You play so that your teammates look good as well, not just for yourself. But I agree 100%. It's funny. It's kind of comparable to Joel Embiid. He's your supposedly MVP, supposed to be your leading guy. The Flyers, they're putting Carter Hart out there and they're like, play, go. Do your thing, you sink or swim. Why don't the Sixers do that?
Because hockey players are the toughest individuals
on this world.
Toughest SOBs on the planet.
Dude, we had Alain Vigneault on the show the other day.
I love him, by the way.
I know, me too.
He's phenomenal.
I never really knew much about him besides he was a Flyers coach. Like, I never listened to him talk really until he was on the show. And he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was so confident. He was so smart about the game. And he told us, Mark asked, are we going to the playoffs or are you afraid about missing the playoffs or something? And he was like, no, like we're going. We'll be there. You can doubt us or not, but we'll be there.
All you got to do is get in.
All you got to do.
Anything can happen. The same way about the Sixers. The Flyers, I'm excited about.
They're very exciting. I know. And it's cool to see that. People are talking about him more. We had two people call today saying they turned off the Sixers for the Flyers last
night. I was going back and forth the whole time, and then I watched the end of the Flyers.
That's crazy.
Game.
That's awesome for the Flyers. Very bad for the Sixers. So
yeah, I have never really been a big hockey person, and it has been my goal to change that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that the Flyers are making that an easy transition for me because they've been playing so well.
I agree. I like hockey. But they just never drew my attention.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know why.
I love Miracle. I love Olympic hockey. I love all that stuff.
I love going to hockey games. I love going to see the Flyers.
I've never been to a hockey game.
Well,
go. Just kidding. Sorry, I was there last year twice.
You're so pretty. But yeah, the Flyers are 10-5-3. They're in third place ahead of the Penguins.
Who beat them bad.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. But they've gotten, 11 points or so over the last 10 games?
Shootouts, they had an overtime game before this hat trick of shootout games started. So, yeah, they're playing well, man.
I think, five of their last six have been decided outside of regulation.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. And they were on a win streak. Unfortunately, that ended last night. But, you know, to the best team in the NHL, that's a hell of an effort.
Best team in the NHL in a shootout. Okay.
Okay.
See you next time.
Yeah. I'm excited about the Flyers. I'm still excited about the Sixers. No one's going to take that away from me. It's going to be an exciting winter because the Eagles are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
the Sixers are going to hit their stride. The Flyers are going to keep rolling, and it's going to be party town in Philly.
Party on Broad Street.
Hell yeah.
And we'll know why? Because the Babes are now on Broad.
True.
Boom!
Facts. Absolutely.
Sinettish to break.
Sam said so, we're going to go to one more quick break. And then when we come back, we will answer your questions from Twitter and social media today. We are the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Okay, on to our last segment, questions of the day.
Questions of the day. Okay, first question. If Alshon Jeffrey can't play on Sunday, will the Eagles be okay without Alshon?
I mean, what really has Alshon done?
I was going to say, are we okay with Alshon?
Yeah. So that's my answer, yeah. We're not really losing anything. If he was going to come back and do great, yeah, that's
and
a plus.
And play like he did in the Super Bowl, maybe. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it kind of be like we'd be gaining even if we had Alshon and he ended up doing that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that calf was still bothering him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He looks so slow. And if his ankle's bothering him too, think about how slow this man
Which kind of annoys me. How do you hurt your ankle on the bye week, dude?
He got hurt in the Bears game, but like, that's what concerns me. It's still sore and he hasn't practiced in 2 days. And the other question, what is with the inconsistency of the Sixers?
I think we already hit on it.
They're not playing together.
I was going to say the inconsistency of the roster. Is that what you'd say? The starting five.
The starting lineup?
Yeah, starting lineups.
The inconsistency of the starters, not all from a playing perspective and who is playing and who is not. And also, I mean, we've been getting some rare forms of these players. Like Tobias, goodness gracious. I love Tobias. I expect him to bounce back fully. I support you wholeheartedly. I still support the Sixers' idea to give him a max contract.
I agree.
Al Horford. We've seen two different sides of Al Horford too. Last night, that man could not throw a stone in the ocean. It was unbelievable to watch. The whole bully ball situation, we haven't seen any of it. I would like to see some of it. Could we try, please?
We saw him like game one and two.
Yes,
and it worked.
I would like to see it again. Please and thank you. Yeah. That would make me very, very happy.
I mean, they're figuring things out. Like we said earlier, too quick to panic. So
yeah.
Call your Jets.
Everybody calm down.
Calm yo. Bleep. Oh,
Sam's singing again. And you know what? Sam's singing again. That means it is time to absolutely close this drawn out for this week. 100%. Let's hope for an Eagles win, the Sixers and the Flyers to bounce back tomorrow night, which when you listen to this, it will be tonight.
Correct.
And let's hope that everybody gets on a roll so we can have a fun, fun, fun winter.
And because it's winter, get your ugly Christmas babe sweater, however that's supposed to be said.
Yes. The cutest ugly sweater you'll ever see.
Jingle babes, jingle babes. They do whatever the babes on the broad do.
Okay, I'm really going to close this episode out now, so Sam, stop singing. So thank you to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, @BabesOnBroad. You can also like us on Facebook, Babes on Broad. You can follow Sam on Twitter and Instagram, @SamWills18. You can follow me on Twitter, @RunThisTown with an E13, and on Instagram, @Jessica_Town. Make sure you go to DesignTree.com and get all your Babes on Broad merch, especially your ugly Christmas sweaters, because they are super adorable, and you can get them in... they're crew neck sweatshirts, so yeah. a little bit more toasty. Love it. Very excited. We will be back next week. Go Birds. Go Sixers. Go Flyers.
Woo!
Have a great week, everybody.
Babes on Broad. BGB.